Hello and welcome to the first of our Lent reflections from Stretton Vale Baptist Church. It's the first Sunday in Lent, and we are going to use this Lenten period to prepare our hearts and open ourselves up to hear from God and seek his wisdom in all things. Lent is a time of preparation and cleansing, a time that we use to truly reflect on the condition of our hearts and our relationship with God. We use this time to clear out all those things that hinder our relationship with God and to refocus our hearts on seeking God's will. During Lent, people often give things up in an attempt to help us to focus our attention on God instead of the things that clutter our lives and ensnare our attention. So what is ensnaring your attention? During these Sundays in Lent, we are going to focus on spiritual habits and practices that help us seek God's will for our lives and for the world around us. In the next few weeks, we'll be covering the topics of fasting, meditation, generosity, and stillness. But this week, we will be looking at prayer. Today, we will be looking at two passages, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament, that contain lessons for us about prayer. So I'm going to read from 2 Kings, chapter 18, verses 5 to 7, and 19, 14 to 19, and then from Matthew 6, 5 to 15. So let's start with the first passage, which is in 2 Kings, chapter 18, starting at verse 5. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not stop following him. He kept the commands the Lord had given Moses. And the Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. And then the passage continues and it just gives some context in this part. Hezekiah has received a message from the king of Assyria trying to intimidate him. Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, "Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Give ear, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see. Listen to the words Sennacherib has sent to ridicule the living God. It is true, Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste these nations and their land. They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them, for they were not gods, but only wood and stone, fashioned by human hands. Now, Lord, our God, deliver us from his hand, so that the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, Lord, are God." And then the second passage is in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 to 15. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." If you've been a Christian for a while, you will have heard countless talks on prayer and the importance it should have in our lives. I used to feel guilty because I wasn't praying enough, and I felt an obligation to pray that I wasn't fulfilling. I needed to change my attitude towards prayer. Prayer shouldn't be relegated to an obligation or duty that we should have to fulfill. Prayer is a privilege, a joy, something that should be treasured. This is because prayer isn't just reeling off the list of problems and struggles that we have. It is an intimate conversation with our Heavenly Father. It is a chat with our friend Jesus. It is a chance to be refilled and refreshed by the Holy Spirit. It is a meeting with the Almighty God. In 2 Kings 18, we are told that Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. He held fast to the Lord and did not stop following him. He kept the commands the Lord had given Moses. Hezekiah had a close relationship with God that was sustained by communication with him through prayer. He trusted God because he spoke with God and listened to him. I love the phrase in verse 6, which tells us that Hezekiah held fast to the Lord. The image of holding fast to something conjures the idea of total dependence and trust. My friend's child has a stuffed toy rabbit that she holds fast to. She loves that rabbit and takes it literally everywhere. She finds safety and security when she's able to cling to that rabbit. Whenever she feels anxious, sad, or even frustrated, you can be sure that she is tightly gripping that rabbit. Do we tightly hold fast to God? Do we grip onto him? Do we look to God to be our safety and security, our support when we are feeling anxious, sad, or frustrated? Hezekiah's faith teaches us that we need that deep relationship with God because he is trustworthy, more trustworthy than anything else. When we have genuinely intimate conversations with God, we learn more and more that he wants to have a deep relationship with us, and he loves us more than we can believe. And this is a message that is reiterated in Matthew, where Jesus reminds us that our prayers should be deeply intimate. He calls out those that use prayer as a performance, revealing that they pray to get rewarded by people. They use prayer to gain a good reputation among others so that they are known as holy and righteous people. But Jesus instructs us that the only one whose opinion matters regarding our prayer life is God's. When we pray, we talk to our Father. I remember with great fondness that as a child, I used to curl up in my dad's lap and chat to him about my day and just generally anything else that used to pop into my head. And sometimes I wouldn't need to say anything. We would just sit with each other, enjoying being in each other's presence. This is what God wants with us. I know that not everyone has had a good relationship with their earthly father. But God wants to have a perfect fatherly relationship with you, but only if you are happy to respond to this invitation. When we talk to God, do we come wanting that intimate conversation? Or do we come just wanting a resolution to our problems? How are we seeking not just to listen? How are we seeking not just to talk at God, but to talk with him? Are we listening to him as much or more than we ourselves are speaking? Conversations are two-way. If we just speak at God, we are not allowing him to reveal his amazing presence, love, wisdom, and righteousness to us. We miss out on the wonder of who God is and what it is like to have a relationship with him. Talking to God can be the best thing we do in a day, but we have to allow God to speak, to move, to transform us through his presence. Prayer is an intimate conversation with God, not a performance, not an obligation, not a habit, but an intimate conversation. Will you have an intimate conversation with God? When we come to God in prayer, we often have ulterior motives. We come because we want answers to questions we have or resolutions to our problems. We come because we want something from God. But the question we should be asking ourselves and asking God is, what does God want? What is his will for the future? I know that there have been times that I've come to God and told him my plan for how I want him to sort things out. But I am constantly learning that I need to surrender my own plans and think not of what I want, but what God wants. Admittedly, God needs to keep reminding me of this, but it is because it is hard to surrender to what God wants when it doesn't seem to follow the plan that I so carefully constructed. We can still ask our questions and tell God our problems, but we need to be willing to surrender to God's plans and desires. Ultimately, we should be asking, what is it that God wants? How can his will be done in this situation? King Hezekiah was facing attack from Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, who wanted to capture and enslave the Israelites. Sennacherib had conquered and overcome many nations around him. And so, understandably, Hezekiah and the Israelites were scared. But in this situation, Hezekiah didn't rely on the advice from his advisors, the military strength of his troops, or the reassurance from his people. Instead, Hezekiah turned to God and prayed that he would spare them. But it is the way that Hezekiah prays that particularly impresses me. He doesn't moan and whine at God for the situation. He doesn't beg and plead with him. Instead, he calls upon the God who is over all the kingdoms of the earth and says, "Now, Lord our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, Lord, are God." He asks God to deliver them so that the earth may know that the Lord alone is God. He doesn't pray so that the city would be saved. He doesn't pray that he has success and victory over the Assyrians so he can gain glory. He prays because he wants the glory to go to God and God alone. What is the "so that" behind your prayer request? What is the motivation for your prayers? Why should God answer your prayer? When we pray, can we remember to add a "so that" which seeks to glorify God or seeks his will? Because God's purposes are much greater than ours, and he deserves to be glorified much more than we do. Again, this message is repeated by Jesus. When Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, his prayer begins with asking for God's kingdom to come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If we notice the structure of the Lord's Prayer, it starts with praise for God, then moves on to asking for his kingdom to come and his will to be done, and only then does the prayer turn to request for help. And then it ends again with praise for God. This is to say that all requests we make should be asked only in accordance with God's will. When Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked God to spare him from needing to go to the cross, but only if it was his will. Repeatedly, Jesus said, "Yet not as I will, but as you will." When we are desperately praying for God's intervention, are we able to say, "May your will be done"? I know there have been times in my life where I have struggled to say those words. I didn't want God's will because his will seemed too hard. Seeking God's will in all that we pray can be extremely difficult. But when we pray in his will, God moves in power, and we see lives transformed and glimpses of God's kingdom. Having said that we need to pray in God's will, I also want to bring in this next point. We need to pray for what matters to us, to pray for what matters for you, because God cares about you. God wants us to have an intimate conversation with him, and we can't do that if we're constantly trying to hold back from talking about what matters to us. God wants to hear from us about what is in our hearts. Jesus specifically instructs us to seek God for our daily needs. God wants us to speak to him about whatever is on our hearts for each day. He doesn't just care about the big events in our lives, but every single second as well. Matthew 6 verse 8 reminds us that God already knows our needs and concerns before we tell him, so we don't need to try to hide them from God. It is better for us to be honest and have a direct conversation. We don't need to speak with many elaborate words, as if the longer our prayers are, the more God will hear us. But we do need to come to God with our needs. He wants to listen to our struggles so that he can comfort us and bring us his wisdom. If we don't come to God about what is stressing us out, we won't be open to hearing his advice on what to do. And this means that we are definitely not seeking God's will. Sometimes, small, simple things stress me out, and they seem so inconsequential that I don't want to bother God with my problems. But God cares about whatever is concerning us. He wants to be involved in our lives, in the little things, as well as the big things. So, for example, a couple of weeks ago, I managed to drive my car into the curb, and I damaged both my wheels and tyres on my driver's side. I needed to call up my insurance to get them to help sort out the repairs, but I really, really dislike speaking to people on the phone about things like cars, which I know nothing about. I kept putting off the call again and again because I didn't want to have this conversation. It was a small thing, and yet it kept coming into my mind and stressing me out. Yet I didn't want to bother God about it, because it did seem like such a small thing. But eventually God prompted me to speak to him about it. And funnily enough, I have since managed to find the strength to phone the company, and am in the process of resolving it. I went through literally weeks of stress, but after that one conversation with God, that pressure was lifted. How often do we carry burdens that God is longing to lift from our shoulders if only we go speak to him? Our God is not made of wood and stone fashioned by human hands. And so this means that God truly does hear and listen. He does open his eyes and see, as we are reminded in Hezekiah's prayer. God wants us to involve him fully in our lives, because he loves us. He made us, and he wants to be with us as we go through the journeys of our lives. Do you choose to involve God in the everyday decisions, in the small struggles as well as the big? How can you remind yourself to look to God for his wisdom in all things? Prayer is so important. It is a connection to the best relationship we can ever have. It is a chance to have a deep, intimate relationship with God. How are we seeking to develop, to deepen our relationship with God? What does your prayer life look like? Effective prayer can change the world. How are we praying for the world, for our country, our communities, our friends and family, and ourselves? How can we be praying with expectant hearts, longing to see God transform this world? Prayer is a wonderful lifeline to the only one who can help us in any and every situation. He wants to guide us into seeing his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as in heaven. God cares about you and wants to hear from you. speak to him about anything and everything. He is never too busy to listen. Let's pray as we come to the end of this reflection. Lord God, it is such a joy to speak with you, to know that you are here and you're listening. You're pouring out your love and you're holding us close. And God, I pray that we would truly long to be in your presence, that we wouldn't see prayer as a burden or an obligation or even just a habit, but instead it would be one of our favourite parts of the day, a time when we can truly get to know you and to be deep and intimate with you like we can be with no one else. And Lord, help us to seek you, to seek your will and purposes for the world around us and for ourselves. Lord, there is so much in this world that needs prayer. We need you, Lord, because we can't do it on our own. Help us as we seek you to be fully connected and obedient to you. May we hear what you have to say. And Lord, help us not to be shy about bringing anything and everything to you. We know, Lord, that you care about us more than just about the big things in our lives, but about every single detail. Help us not to feel like we are bothering you or that something is too small to talk to you about. Because I know, Lord, that you want us to talk to you about everything. So Lord, help us, I pray. As we come to you, may we be truly refreshed. Holy Spirit, fill us anew, I pray. Give us a real sense of your presence. And may we see this world transformed by your power, your wisdom, your grace. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.